Well, our Bible is full of stories and images, some of which give texture and color to our faith and its development through the ages and the development of relationship of God and people. And some of the Bible stories and images are teaching moments, enormous teaching moments for us. And today's story from the Gospel of John was just that, a key teaching moment that leads us into the Holy Week journey to the cross, and also leads us one more step in our spiritual journey. We've been taking the time through the season of Lent, the season of renewal, to take part in a sermon series that Lyle developed that's called Spiritual Growth, One Step at a Time. And you'll know that the first Sunday, Lyle talked about the significance of belief. The second Sunday, the courage of faith. The third Sunday, recovery from poor choices. And last Sunday, resources for dry times. Next week, we celebrate Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, the beginning of the Holy Week journey, and we'll celebrate communion together. But today, for the last of the sermon series, we look at living with purpose. We all want to know the purpose for us being here, and we're looking for why we're here and what we are to do. It's a big question. What are we here for? What are you here for? We look to discover the purpose of our journey. We're looking for fulfillment. We're looking for meaning in our lives. So how do we discover that? And then how do we live that out? Well, there are some people for whom that has never been a problem. If you look back in your Observer to the March-April issue, there was a profile of Reverend Joyce Sassy, who at the age of 7 knew exactly what she wanted to do in life, never had a question, knew from the beginning because of a very negative experience where there had been death experienced in the family, and she saw a hole. She saw that they were not ministered to. They were not shown empathy and understanding, particularly the children in that family. And she said, I can make a difference. I can change how this is done. And so she fulfilled her lifelong mission and knew that she was going to do that right from the tender age of 7. Well, it's not quite that way for all of us, perhaps some of you, but for a lot of us, we stumble along the way. We aren't quite sure of the direction to take. We are searching for ways to make our lives fulfilling and searching for ways to be significant, to make a difference. And we do that because we know we are God's creation. We know that God has called us to be something. Way back in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So God has a plan for us. It's just how do we tease out that plan in the craziness of our living? How do we make the choices that we need to make? Why isn't it easy and obvious? Well, the psalmist maybe put his finger on it. In Psalm 139, he says, "With great joy and thanksgiving, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Well, if we're so wonderfully complex, maybe that's the problem. We have so many choices we have to make, so many options we have to weigh, so many steps that we have to take. It's not an easy journey. But one way that we can work on this is by developing our relationship with God, with understanding that God is not somewhere out there, far away, or looking from on high at us all. No, God is within and around us and in each one of the people we meet. And we can develop a relationship, a one-on-one relationship with God that will give us direction. God recognizes, well, we recognize that God has given us all different gifts. This is part of what Paul writes to the Roman church in the passage that we didn't read. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So it's not easy. We can't all just follow what our neighbor does. We can't look at the leaders of our congregation and say, I'll just do exactly what they do and I will find purpose in my life, because I may not be able to do at all what someone else can do beautifully. And some of what I do, of how I live out my life, won't necessarily suit other people. So we each have to find individually, through our one-on-one relationship with God, our own path. However, okay, can you click it, please? Thank you. We are called here together for a singular purpose. We all recognize that the good news is for us to share. The good news of Christ coming to tell us that God is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of justice, and a God that loves all creation. And in this passage from Romans that Paul writes, he encourages each of the people that he's writing to use their particular gifts, to recognize the gifts that they've been given. Perhaps it's the gift of being able to pray. Perhaps it's the gift of being able to smile, to welcome someone in. And so he lists the various things that we can do to live out the good news, and it's something that we have in common. We are called to love one another with mutual affection, both sides involved, to let love be genuine, no pretending, it has to come from the heart, to persevere in prayer, to rejoice in hope, to extend hospitality to strangers, and to hold fast to what is good. This is the path that we are all called to follow. It gives us common ground. And then we're called to go out and find how we can each serve, because that is the bottom line, that we are called to serve. We're called to do what we can to enhance and encourage the lives of others. And that means that we're called to serve. Well, serving is, it sounds easy enough, I guess, but we actually prefer to be served. We go to a restaurant, we expect to be given a good table. We expect courteous service. We expect to order what we want and have that delivered in a timely manner. We expect to be asked, are we enjoying our meal? And we expect the cashier to give us back the right amount of money. And we aren't very nice about it. If any of those things go wrong, we frown, we complain, we suggest that perhaps there was a nicer way of behaving. We want to be served nicely because, after all, we're worth it, aren't we? It's very difficult to turn ourselves inside out and to see that we are the ones that need to serve. We are the ones that need to encourage, to be respectful, to be forgiving, to show grace. Well, in the story today that Herb read for us, Jesus is saying just this. You might have noticed in reading about Jesus that apart from the brief time on Palm Sunday, Jesus traveled everywhere on foot. And that's because everyone did in those days travel on foot. They didn't, unless you were rich and privileged, they didn't have any other way of transportation. And so their feet would get mighty dirty in a day. The roads would be muddy, dusty, covered in litter. And so it became the custom that when you came into a house or a place, that the lowliest of the servants would be tasked with removing your sandals, washing your feet, and drying them off to refresh you from the journey and to make you feel cleaner. It was a hygiene thing. And so the disciples have arrived in the upper room, and there doesn't seem to be anybody there to do that, to do the cleansing of the feet. And Jesus recognizes the perfect teaching moment. And he gets up from the table, and he takes off his outer robe, and he ties a towel around his waist, and he fills a basin with water, and he proceeds to take the sandals from the feet of each of his disciples, wash those feet and dry them. I'll bet those disciples were somewhat shocked, possibly appalled. But it wasn't till he got to Peter that he encountered a fight. Remember, I told you it's the lowliest of the servants that are tasked with doing this. And so Peter pulls his feet away and says, "No, Lord, you will never wash my feet." Because he regards Jesus as being his Lord. And Jesus insists that this is the way it needs to be done. And so Peter's always a little slow to get it. It's wonderful watching Peter through the Gospels and how he missteps and misunderstands. And so now he thinks, oh, maybe this is a cleansing moment, another baptism, a way of being purified. Oh, well, then wash everything, please, Jesus. No, no, Peter, you just still don't get it. I'll explain it. And so Jesus explains that by doing this, he is modeling how to behave, how to serve, how to humble yourself to be the servant. And then he invites the disciples to do the same. He invites the disciples to follow in his footsteps, to do what he has done. Now, it takes courage to follow in Jesus' footsteps. It takes a lot of steps quite often in our lives because we're not used to doing things that are outside our comfort zones. There's a story by Dr. Fred Craddock, who is a very well-respected and well-known theologian in the States, and he teaches preaching at one of the Bible colleges in the States. He's fairly elderly now, so this story is back a few years, to say the least, but he tells a story about when he was younger, he was driving from appointment to appointment in the southern states. And so to get to the next appointment, he had to drive through the night. And it was a long drive through empty countryside. And he was getting pretty tired as the night wore on. It was pre-dawn, but he saw a diner up ahead, and he decided that he would pull into the diner and get some breakfast and just refresh himself. So he walks into the diner, sits at the table, and puts in his order. And then while he's waiting for his order to come, he looks around and he spots an African-American man sitting up at the lunch counter, up on a stool, drinking a cup of coffee. And the manager comes out from the kitchen area and just walks over to that African-American man and starts to berate him, starts to insult him, starts to abuse him verbally. And Dr. Craddock observes this and sees the poor man gulp down his coffee and get up and leave. And Dr. Craddock finished his breakfast and paid his bill. He wasn't feeling very positive about what he'd done. And he was walking back to his car in the parking lot, and he heard a rooster crow once. And he knew that he had disappointed God. It takes courage to act in a Christ-like way. It takes stepping out of our comfort zones. To live with purpose in our lives requires, yes, following in Christ's footsteps with courage, with conviction, knowing that we are not alone and that God is leading us. But it also means that we need to take ourselves out of the center of our living and put Christ in. We are by nature selfish people, but it's kind of how we preserve ourselves. We think of ourselves first. It's a habit, and it's encouraged by our society, by the ads and the promos saying, well, go there and you'll feel better. Indulge in this and you'll feel healthier. Buy that and you will be a better person. And we want to feel good. Of course we want to feel good. And so we fall for all this. And we forget to find our motivation through Christ. We forget to put Christ in the center of our hearts. At the beginning of this series, Lyle talked about our beliefs and said that we don't have to ask somebody what they believe, we simply have to watch what they do. And we'll see what they believe in their actions, right? Well, if we are centered in Christ, if we are directed and guided by the light of Christ in our lives, then our actions will shine through. We'll be doing what our faith asks us to do. Little history lesson for you. At the beginning of the Christian era, the sovereigns of various European countries had the habit of performing the foot washing ritual on Maundy Thursday. Sometimes you see it today still. But the kings and emperors, they would invite in the homeless, one for each year of their reign, to have their feet washed in a ritual, ceremonial way, and then they'd be given food and clothing. And this was a well-accepted ritual that happened year after year. Until in 1685, James II considered the ritual and said, you know, this is beneath my dignity. And so we'll stop this. I'll give them money. They can have some money. And we'll just dispense with this little ritual. It's easy, isn't it, just to, well, it used to be write a check, now it's tap a card, but it's so much easier to do that than to actually live the actions of being Christ-centered and living out our faith. We are called to live through action, to be involved, to consider ourselves and our sisters and brothers as all God's creation. And that's what our third point on our journey to live with purpose is all about, living with humility, understanding that through circumstance, we are who we are. Through circumstances other than ours, others are the way they are. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just understand, listen, and discuss in normal tones differences so that we could live more in harmony? Stop for a moment and imagine what the world would be like. And yet, now we live in a time where we just don't listen to one another. We don't understand that we all are created by God and that we all have experiences that have made us into different people, but basically we are brothers and sisters together. The best example I know of living in humility or with humility is Jean Vanier. He's one of my supreme heroes. I think God gives us people like Jean Vanier so that we have hope. We know that there are wonderful people who live God-like lives. Jean Vanier was born the son of a diplomat in Europe, a Canadian diplomat, but posted a lot in Europe. So Jean Vanier was born in Switzerland and went to school mainly in France and England. Grew up, I would say, as the daughter of a diplomat, a privileged life. You don't want for much, I have to say. And so he had the right schools to go to, privileges of travel, several languages under his belt, a good life. In 1945, his father was the ambassador for Canada in Paris, France. And of course, it was the end of the war. And Jean went to visit from England where he was at school. He was 17. And his mother took him with her to visit and minister to some of the prisoners of war from the Nazi concentration camps. And the effect of the faces of these prisoners who had just been released, the pain and the fear in their twisted faces had an enormous effect on him. And while he continued to pursue his career aspirations, first in the Navy and then as an academic, in 1964, he had the opportunity to learn through a priest friend of his about the thousands of people who were institutionalized because of their developmental disabilities. And he got to know of their circumstances, and he just was called to invite two of them to come and live with him in a little village in France in his house. And from those beginnings, there are now 147 L'Arche communities in 37 countries in this world, all over the place, where developmentally disabled people are able to live in loving communities, in a family atmosphere, each with a job to do according to what they are capable of, all feeling treasured and loved. And Jean Vanier insists that they are teaching him every day. He's well into his 90s now, still lives in the L'Arche community that he founded that many years ago. Martha Bala worked with him for several years. She's now a retired physician in the Kingston area, but she says, Vanier touches others at the level of the heart with tenderness and humility. Humility. His ability to be present to the wound within each of us is the fruit of a lifetime of fidelity to prayer. This gift has been further honed through hours of attentive and faithful listening, so important, to the cry of the rejected and voiceless, to the pain of others' lives, to the yearnings of his own heart, and to the tenderness of Jesus, his beloved. So how each of us serve, find fulfillment, find purpose in our lives, is deeply personal. We are each developing, changing, our life circumstances are changing. We're called to do differently what perhaps we did before, but we all have a place to fill. We all have a way to serve, and we just need to find, through our prayer life, through our relationship one-on-one with God, what we're called to do next in order to live our lives filled with purpose. Alex Rogers is an inspirational writer from the States, and he says, "Purpose is the great divider that separates those who are simply living from those who are truly alive." So for us to be truly alive, for us to truly find purpose, meaning, and fulfillment in our lives, we're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps with courage, with conviction, because of our personal relationship with Jesus. We're called to take ourselves out of the center and be guided by the light of God's Spirit within. And we're called to consider everyone we meet, our brothers and sisters, and be humble in their presence. So we've come to the end of our sermon series for Lent, and there's a common thread that puts all the pieces together, and that is the importance of deepening our relationship with God through Christ. And we can do that by looking again, studying again, revisiting, looking from a different angle at the different biblical stories. We think we know them all, maybe, but there's always something new. And we can develop our prayer lives, because that's where we come one-on-one with God, developing our time of prayer and meditation and contemplation, being calm within and listening for God's voice in our souls. And through community, through sharing together our own experiences, being more open with one another so that we can learn from one another, because God is present in each of us. And then sharing that out in our community where God is also. And so I invite you this week before we celebrate Holy Week to think about the steps that you have taken through Lent and to continue that walk, because that walk is throughout our lives.